Have you ever found yourself falling off on your faith? You're like, man, I start strong and I kind of just fade out. This message is all about how to become immovable.
Let's give God some glory for what he just did at our student conference. Come on, let's do it. Woo! Incredible. It was such an amazing time. Thanks for being with us. I want to say hello to all of our campuses, those who are visiting, watching online as well. But those who are visiting, I just want you to know we just finished our U26 student conference, our first conference ever, shifting from camp to conference, and it was amazing. If you want to know why we would do that, it's real simple. Camp capacity max was about 800 students. We had this week 1,411 students, and that's exactly why we did it. Yep, praise God. And 127 of those students gave their life to Christ. That's why we do this. Praise God. It was amazing. Such an incredible week. I want to just, first of all, can we just thank all of our volunteers and our staff who have been busting it? I mean, just working so hard. So proud of you. I mean, it's incredible. Everyone's been working so hard. It's amazing. And so I'm just thankful. So if I fall asleep in the middle of my own sermon, let me know. And just wake me up because we've been going really hard. And so, but it's been amazing, and God's just really moving. I'm just so proud of them. This is actually their last session today, so you are going to get to peer into the last session. I'm talking to our students today, and I'll let you just, you know, hopefully get something from it too. How's that sound? Okay. Excited about today's message, actually, as we conclude the U26, the whole weekend has been just incredible. We had such a great time. And it wasn't just talent on stage that we brought in. Man, God was just moving. What was really cool is every single person, each of them, Nate Diaz said this to me, Torin Wells, all of them, they were like, wow. They said, it feels like you've been doing this for years. This is amazing. And they said, we can't believe the quality of this and how great this is. And these guys are in some amazing places around the country. It says a lot about our team. Really proud of our team. So it was truly amazing. It's just incredible. And so really proud of everyone. I just want to remind you guys, again, those of you who are so supportive of this church, that is not possible without you. So we are really thankful for your support, for the difference that you have made. It's just been incredible, and so we praise God for that. I want to talk today about four teenagers. Their names are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these are four teenagers who did it right. We're always hearing today about people who are blowing up their lives, messing up, making mistakes. And even the Bible is chock full of stories of people's mistakes. And I'm glad for that because it teaches us, it's like a warning to us, don't do what they did, right? Well, here are four young teenagers who did the right thing, who actually are a great example, and I can't find any weakness in them. They just nailed it. They just got it right. Isn't that kind of nice to see that? So let's unpack what they did that was different, because there's two different scenarios to where they both, Daniel himself and then also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faced off against two separate kings in their lifetimes and essentially overcame great temptation, overcame the temptation to compromise and did the right thing. And they had habits that helped them do that. I want to unpack that today. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to start off in the verse, though, to start us with. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says this. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. I love that word, immovable. Be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is useless. I love that. First of all, I just want to stop and say, maybe you're serving in some capacity here at the church and you're like, no one even needs me or notices me. I'm not making a difference. That's not true. It says when you are enthusiastically serving the Lord, it says it's never useless. God is using that. But let me also say, those of you say, yeah, but what I do doesn't make a difference. Or maybe for you at home, you're like, man, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm just changing diapers. I mean, I feel like all I'm doing is cleaning up after my kids. No, that's not useless. It's incredibly valuable what you're doing. You know, maybe you say, you know, I help out in the parking lot. I just sweat it out and help people get cars parked. I mean, that's so important, guys. I just want to challenge you that the things that God has given you to do, they're important. It makes a difference. Please never think that you're not an important part of this, because God is using you to do great things. Let's give it up for those who are in service to others. God uses that. He does. There are four teenage boys, and they simply do the right thing. In fact, at one point, let's talk about one of them, Daniel chapter 6. This is Daniel had a habit that he started as a teenager and continued all the way into being an old man, and that habit really helped him, and that habit was prayer. And at one point in Daniel's service to the king, by the way, let me back up and explain something about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There were four teenagers that were born and raised in Israel, and by the time they were teenagers, Israel was overcome by Babylon, and then they were taken. The Babylonian king came along and said, hey, Now that we have conquered Israel, I want you to find the sharpest, best-looking young men and that got it going on, that are accomplished. Take them out of Israel and bring them to Babylon, and we're going to train them in our ways. So Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found themselves yanked out of their culture, yanked from their families. They're living in barracks or dorms now. They're not with their families anymore. And they are now being saturated in Babylon's ways. That would be the world's ways. And yet they did not compromise. Very impressive that they even stood directly against two different kings, which is really impressive. I mean, you're talking young men that were doing this. It's pretty amazing. At one point, Daniel now is an old man, and the king demands that they pray only to him as if he's a god. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter 6 that he did. It says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual. I love that. Knelt down as usual in this upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done. So this is a habit, giving thanks to God. If you want to know how you can become immovable, here's how. Create habits. Build habits, number one, that make you strong. And one of those habits is a prayer life, right? And so one of the things I did when I was in high school, back in the 1800s, when I was in high school, my junior and senior year, I drove myself to school, and I had a habit that I would turn on this one song. It was a Christian song. I won't tell you what it is because I will really date myself if I do. But I would turn on this one Christian song, and this song talked about standing up for Christ, making a difference, no compromise, right? And I would listen to this in my car, turned up, and I would also read scripture, and I would have a little devotional book in my car, and I would read that, pray, and I would commit that day to God, I want to stand up for you today. I want to be your ambassador. I want to make a difference today in my high school. And I would crank up that song, and then after that, I'd turn the car off and go into high school. I did that every morning. You know, I still to this day do that, even as a pastor now, in my car. You may say, yeah, but you're going into a church now. Yeah, I get that, but still I start my day with the Lord. So sometimes my staff will see me sitting in my car, and that's what I'm doing. I've got a little journal. I have an extended prayer time and Bible time. I have it in a different time of the day, but in the mornings, I still have that habit of grabbing my little devotional right there, opening and reading it, reading a few scriptures, and praying, cranking up my radio to a song that inspires me to live for God before I come into work. Just that little habit. Maybe that's something you could do different. Just that simple habit of saying, I just want to take just a minute or two before I walk into work, before I walk into the refinery, before I walk into the base I work at or the school I go to. I just want to challenge you, just that little habit sets the tone of the day. But there's other habits you could do that make a difference too. But that quiet time, that time with God, makes all the difference in the world. And so your habits really form who you become. And so just let me just ask you, are your habits taking you closer to Christ or further from Christ? Just think about your habits. Maybe your habit is to always be streaming a show, always be on Instagram, always be, you know, devouring media. But I just want to challenge you to begin to say, I want to devour the Word of God. I want to get God's word in me. I want to begin to do that. And just make new habits, because your habits really form who you become. The second thing that I want to point out is something else that we see all throughout Scripture. But I know that Daniel, one of the reasons why he could stand for the Lord is because he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the reason those three guys could do, because they had Daniel. They all need each other. What that tells me, if you're taking notes, is that you need the habit of being together, right? It says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us not neglect are meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So God wants us to continue to meet like we're doing right now. I know I'm talking to people that are in church. I get that. But the fact that you're here, it makes a difference. But let me just challenge you. Don't just do what I call dip and skip, where you're like, I'll come this week, maybe not next week, maybe a couple weeks later we'll come. And so when you do that, and then you're frustrated with your walk with God, you're like, I don't know why I'm not growing with the Lord. That's like joining a gym, going once a month and wondering why your body isn't transformed, right? And so the people who really got it going on at the gym, we call them something, right? We call them gym rats. Like, look at that gym rat. Look at that meathead. They're always here, right? But even though we have terms like that for them, guess what? They look great and they feel great. Why? Because they've been transformed. They're there all the time. So I want to challenge you, if you want God to really transform you, you got to be here all the time. And so one of the reasons why God was moving so much in those students' lives is the simple fact that they were here multiple days in a row, worshiping God, hearing God's word. They were saturated in the truth of God. And that's why God got a hold of their lives in such a powerful way. So I want to challenge you, could it be that you're wanting to hear from God, and you're like, I keep asking God to show me his will, and I just don't know what he's trying to say. And God's like, hey, why don't you come out my house more often? You'll hear from me more. Just make it a regular habit. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge all the students. Don't miss youth group. Say, I'm not going to miss. I'm going to be there every single week. And don't miss church. Number two, make youth group or church a non-negotiable. It's just something that you do and you just don't miss. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Now, remember, we just started in 1 Corinthians 15 where it talks about what? Being immovable. You know, in that same chapter is where it says this very famous verse that some of us don't even know this is scripture, but we know it's a very popular phrase, but it's actually from the Bible. Here it is. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Some of you right now are like, my mom said that to me growing up. I didn't know that was in the Bible. It's in the Bible. That's where it's from. And so the same chapter that says be immovable says bad company corrupts good character. What that means is, you know what? Who you hang out with does move you. Whoever you're hanging out with, they're either moving you closer to Christ or further from Christ, but they are moving you. Don't think for a second that your relationships are making a difference. They are. Who you hang out with determines who you become. It's really true. And so, and some of you, that's scary. You're like, man, all my friends are losers. Well, just saying. Who you hang out with, you become like. It's really true, you know? And so years and years and years, I wanted to lose weight. I finally was like, I'm just going to start hanging out with fatter people so I feel better about myself. You know what I'm saying? That's worked for me. So no, but the truth is that you become, right? You pick up on the health habits of people you hang out with. You know, the people who cuss a lot, guess what? You'll probably struggle with language if you hang out with people who cuss a lot, right? And so people who treat their spouse badly, probably, guess what? You'll pick up on those habits. If you're young people hang out with someone who's always smarting off of their parents, guess what you'll do? The same thing. So whoever you're hanging out with, you really become like them. You want better financial habits? Hang out with people who have good financial habits, and you'll spend like they spend, or I should say not spend like they spend, right? And so I just want to challenge you that you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's really true. It's really true. So I want to challenge you to make sure you make youth group and church a non-negotiable. If you'll do that, God will do a great work in your life. And so there was a little boy, he kept falling out of bed at night, right? And he was getting so frustrated. He'd wake up in the middle of the night after he'd fall out of bed and be like, oh, he's upset. You know, he's just trying to sleep. His mom would run in, you know. And about the fourth time this happened, he said, Mama, why does it keep happening? Why do you keep falling out of bed? She said, sweetie, the reason you keep falling out of bed is because you never got all the way in. Can I just ask you, are you keep falling away from God? You keep falling back in old habits? God's saying to you today, it's because you didn't get all the way in. I mean, I know you're coming to church, but if you have no real friendships in church, it means you just show up and then leave. How about you stay a little longer? Maybe serve. When I use the word serve, people think that means you're signing up for 10 hours of work a week. No, why don't you stay an extra 10 minutes after church and just help pick up around you? That's called serving. 10 minutes. That's not a big deal. And then when you see someone by you that actually looks like they're official in their right shirt doing it, and you say, how do I get that shirt? How do I sign up? How do I get involved? Do I make it official? And so, in other words, as my friend Ed Young says, you're either serving or you're swerving. So I want to challenge you just to get deeper in. Just say, I'm going to commit to serving. I'm not just going to come to church again. I'm going to be a part of the church, making it happen. I want to challenge you to do that. You know, a lot of the adults around you right now, they're on this spiritual high too. Why? Because they were serving while the students were being blessed during this conference, which means, guess what? They were hearing all the same stuff. They were in the same worship service. It was exciting for them too. So I just want to challenge you. When you go all in, you get blessed too. It's really true. And so maybe it's time to go all in and say, you know what? I'm not just going to give a little bit. I'm going to actually tithe to the church. I'm going to go all in. Or I'm going to go all in and start to serve. I'm going to go all in and join a life group. I'm going to get involved. Or maybe for you, going all in is just say, I just keep coming every 4 or 5 weeks. I'm going to come every week to church. We're going to make that the habit. That's what we do. I just want to challenge you to begin to think differently. And if you go all in, you won't fall out. And so when you do that, it makes all the difference in the world. I noticed last week, God was just moving in such a powerful way. This is just one of many stories, but there was a young man who came, and he's an atheist, a student that was here. He was dragged here, really didn't want to be here, but he came, and he was really reluctant the first night. But the second night,
because of Kenan Clark's message. God used it in a powerful way and spoke to him, and he gave his life to Christ. He went from being an atheist to being a Christian. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Praise God. I love that. I just want to encourage you that lives really change when you're in God's house consistently. Make youth group and church a non-negotiable, and let this be the place that you build friendships. If you will do that, you'll have the right friends influencing you in the right way, and you will become immovable. You'll become someone that when you commit to the Lord, you stay with it this time. That is the difference. It really is a huge game changer. And so if we fast forward into the stories of these young men, at one point, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a king that was over them that basically passed a law that said that he had to be worshipped and prayed to. And it was ridiculous. These kings thought they were gods, which they're not. They're just men, right? But at one point, they're confronted, and they said this to the king directly. This is unbelievable. And I want to remind you, these are teenage boys saying this to the most powerful man in the land. This is what they said to that king. They said this in Daniel chapter 3. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, because the king said, if you don't worship me, if you don't kneel down and pray to me, I'm going to burn you up. I'm going to literally throw you in a furnace, right? And so this is what they said. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Notice how they said it respectfully, right? But then it said this. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. These are teenagers. And they literally said, God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we will die, no compromise. Wow. That is some faith. They were like, we will let our faith cost us. Even if it costs us our lives, we would rather go out knowing we honored God. That is unbelievable. And you know what? The king was furious. It said his face was distorted in anger that these boys were literally fronting him so hard. So what does that tell me? Number three, if you're not making someone mad or uncomfortable, you're not taking a stand. I just want to challenge you with that. Just if someone's not uncomfortable with your faith, you're not walking the faith. If someone's not angry that you're living for God, this doesn't mean you go pick a fight with someone, but if you'll just stand for faith, anyone who's not feels uncomfortable around you. I just want to challenge you, it's okay. And so you will make enemies just by serving the Lord. And you know what? That's the right kind of enemy. At that point, you're like, you know what? I'm going to be all out for God. You don't like it? That's on you. And so I just want to challenge you that if you're going to live for the Lord, you're going to live differently. That means people are going to be uncomfortable sometimes with you, and that's okay. Just continue to put God first in your life. I want to challenge you to be willing to take a stand. And then look what happens. This is unbelievable, of course. The king is so furious, he turns up the heat. He literally turns up the heat so much that when they drag Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to this fiery furnace, throw them in, they open the door of the furnace. The fire is so hot, the fire blazes out and kills the soldiers dragging them to the heat. Wow, that's crazy, right? They shove them in. You think they're going to be incinerated within a second, but that's not what happens. That's not at all what happens. In fact, look what happens to them. It says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 23, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king, jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, your majesty, we certainly did. They replied, look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound, walking around the fire, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. What does that mean? That means that when you're in the fire, God is with you. He is there with you. He will help you. Did you know it says in scripture that when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke? Think about that for a second. The other guys were crispy. The other soldiers were cooked completely, and yet these guys didn't even smell like smoke. Look, when God's done with you, you won't even smell like the things you used to do. It will be like you never even did it. It will be like you never even threw away your virginity. God will purify you. It will be like you never even did those crazy things. God will purify you and remove that shame, remove that guilt. God says, I have something great for you. Let him turn up the heat. I'm there with you. That's what God says. I want to challenge you today. There's a God who's with you. Maybe you right now are experiencing the fire turned up in your life. You're like, you have no idea, Pastor. man, I'm going to go back to my high school, and I already know they're going to be throwing things in my face to compromise. How do I do this? You know what? We just told you how to do it. You build those right habits. You get around those right people, and you stand. And you say, I'm going to take my stand. I'm not going to back down. And God will be with you when the fire hits. Maybe for you, it's work. Maybe you say, you know, in my work environment, Pastor, I go on these trips, you know, and we're going for work, and, you know, and I got the pressure to go to the club. And I'm like, Lord, the fire's turned up. God says, no, take your stand. You don't have to do that. You take your stand. You say, but it could cost me a promotion. It could cost me a raise. No, God's got you. When God wants to promote you, no man will be able to shut that down. When God opens the door, no man can shut it. You need to trust the Lord. Let the fire be turned up. God is with you in those difficult moments. God is with you in the fire. He'll be with you. There's a story that impacted me when I was a young teenager. I'd like to share that with you today. It's a true story about an Olympic diver. This is decades ago. He was considering the things of Christ because he had a friend on the team that was witnessing to him. And he flew out to this Olympic trial in another country. He wasn't used to this place. He'd never been there before. His flight was late. Everyone was already in bed. But his time was off, meaning like, you know, the time zone. So he got there late at night, but he's not tired. He's like, oh, man, I can't sleep. He thought, well, let me at least go get some practice in, you know. So he went and changed, and he, you know, security guards at the front of the building, but he was like, hey, I'm with the team. He's like, all right, yeah, you can go in. So he goes in. No one's there. It's a huge building, massive building, all these pools lined up, right? And he goes to the high dive, because that's what he was. He was a high dive diver, and he thought, I'll just get a little practice in. He climbed up the ladder. No one's in this whole building. All the lights are off. There's only one light on. He climbs up, gets up to the platform, puts his hands out, and he's about to practice and just do some jumps, just some basic dives. You know, as he gets there, he looks, and the only light on in the whole place happens to be right behind him. And it puts a perfect shadow of a cross in front of him. He's like, oh, wow. And he had been thinking about what his friend was telling about Jesus, that Jesus really did die for you, and he really rose again. And he was like, that's crazy. If he really rose again, that's insane. I'm not sure if I believe that. Put his hands up again, and he saw that cross, and he was like, whoa. He's like, is God talking to me right now? I mean, he was really just thinking, man, this is crazy, you know, because he thought maybe this guy's nuts. I mean, this is just a religious fanatic. But when he stuck his hand out, what are the chances of this? His body formed a perfect cross. He thought about that for a second. He was about to dive, and he thought, my head's not right to be diving. That's probably not safe, you know. So he went back down to the other end of the platform, and he crawled back down the ladder, and he thought, you know, I'll just go wade in the pool and just think. You know, is Jesus real? And if he did raise again, why would he care to save me? Like, why would he care about, if he's God, why is he thinking about me? So he went to the other end of the pool, and he began to go down the side ladder to go into the shallow end and just wade in the water and think. And as he crawled down the ladder, chills came all over his body as he realized that pool was completely empty. And he realized, not only does Jesus save me, he just saved me. And he got on his knees in that dry pool and gave his life to Jesus right then and there. I heard that story as a teenager, and I got up from my seat, and I went forward, and I gave my life to Christ. I just want to ask you, have you given your life to Christ? Because he saves you. But he doesn't just save you on the cross. He saves you every day of your life. How many things has he saved you from? Oh, it's countless. So I just want to take a moment and bow our heads right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you given your life to Christ? Have you considered the claims of Christ? He claimed to be God. Then he died for your sin. Then he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you to receive him. You can pray a simple prayer and receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Here's that prayer right now. You can pray this with me now. Just say this out loud. Just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, he's come in your life. He's become your Savior. If you've just done that, no one's looking around, would you hold your hand high right now if you just gave your life to Christ? All across our campuses, just hold your hand high. Thank you, right here in the front. Thank you. Hold those hands high. We see your hands all the way in the back. Praise God. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. God's moving right now at Padre Island. Thank you, Portland. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Hold those hands high. Those watching online, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text my hands raised. You click hand raised right now. Just let us know. You gave your life to Christ in our prison ministry. Hold those hands high. Thank you. It's hands going up all across our churches. You put your hands down now with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe today you say, you know, Pastor, honestly, I keep falling out. I keep falling out. I come a little bit and I back off. I walk with God some and then I compromise. I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of doing that. God's saying to you today, it's time to go all in. Maybe you today, God's saying it's time to start coming every single week. It's time to start serving. It's time to start giving. It's time to cross the line and say, I'm not just going to come. I'm going to be a contributor. I'm not just going to be a spectator. I'm going to get involved. If that's you today, would you hold your hand high? If you say, I'm going to get involved, Pastor, I want to go all in. Thank you. Their hand's going up. Praise God. God's going to use this in your life. Hold your hand high. If I'm going to get involved, Pastor. I'm not just going to come here and there. I want to take that next step. I'm tired of falling out. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your word today, God. Thank you for four teenage boys who made a decision to not compromise and to live for you. Thank you, God, that they are an example to all of us today, that we can go all in for you, and Lord, you will be with us in the fire. You will be with us in the lion's den. Thank you, God, for your word and your truth today. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good?